Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Long time no see. How have you all been? Have you been as quiet as you were just a minute ago? It's a bit unnerving. It's been good to be resting and to be recuperating. And I said, I'm still in the restoration stage, so be gentle with me. But it's been good to read and to be in God's presence. I'll drop little bits in as I go through the service this morning, to be able to worship with my niece and the family, and go on retreat and have silence. No offense, guys, but the silence has been brilliant. But also, as I said before I went, my sabbatical wasn't all about me. It was about you as well and your sabbatical. And I hope that you've been blessed. I know you've been blessed over these last 6-7 weeks together. And so when we share later over fellowship, it would be lovely to hear your stories as well as I bang on about mine. But I went on a few retreats, a short one to start my sabbatical, to prepare myself for what God was going to say and do. Then in the middle was a longer retreat, and it was labelled as a led silent retreat on the period between Jesus' ascension and Pentecost. And the silence was for 2 days and 18 hours. Not that I was counting. And it was wonderful as we did, as the disciples and the women did, and the others that were gathered, as we met together, as we prayed together, as we just waited on the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated the birth of the church at Pentecost and Jesus' commission. And I'm still drawn to the early disciples' devotion to the characteristics of a healthy church. The things that we perhaps have become so familiar with, but are we still devoted to them? Or has life and the familiarity and tiredness taken over from devotion to our Lord? So what can we learn? As the Holy Spirit poured into those early disciples and each new believer then and now, the impact of the Holy Spirit is that person has that newfound resource which enables them to live lives transformed as the Holy Spirit pours in and we are filled. And so I pray that we would have that infilling this morning, and that as we leave, that we would pour out the good news and the blessings that we've all had over these weeks, and that God will continue to bless us and add to our number. And so we pray, we are God's church. We come together to worship. He has given us his word, and so we come together to learn from him. He has filled us with his power, and we go out to bring others to him. He has called us to be his family, and we come together to share our lives. He has put words, his words, on our lips, and so we go out to tell the world about him. He has given us his spirit. We come together to celebrate. He has showered us with his riches. We go out to share his goodness with others. He has freed us from our past. We come together to move forwards. He has planned for us a glorious future. We go out to live our lives to please him. We are God's church. We come together to worship. Amen. So we're worshiping song as we sing number 564. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
Thank you.
Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we've just sung those words together, we thank you that we have been brought together here as your community of believers. We thank you that we can sing our praises freely, that we can give our thanks to you, that we come with everything and all that we are to worship you. We thank you for all that you have done for us, not just yesterday or last week, Lord, but throughout our lives. We thank you for the opportunity to look back, to be in the moment, but also to look forward to a future with you. Lord, we do thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that was poured out on those early believers at Pentecost. We thank you for each new believer now, Lord, that has that infilling of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we worship now, we pray, come, Holy Spirit, open our hearts, open our ears. Show us more of your way, Lord. Help us to understand what it is to be a community of believers, of worshippers, that we wouldn't just hear your word, Lord, that we would be your word in the communities that we live in. Lord, we thank and praise you for your protection, for your love for each one of us, that you hold us no matter what situations we find ourselves in. We thank you for the love that we can only but imagine, Lord. Your unconditional love for each one of us, no matter who we are or where we've been. That, Lord, you just open your arms and greet each one of us. Lord, we are sorry for the times that we forget that you are there. When we go about our own lives, doing our own thing, wanting our own way. Lord, perhaps we jump into decisions without coming to you first, and then suffer the consequences. We thank you, Lord, that as we pray that you are as close to us as each breath. That it is that breath, Lord, of your Holy Spirit that hears our prayers. That our Lord Jesus Christ prays on our behalf when we don't have the words to pray. But Lord, as we read and think about those early disciples, Lord, that everything they did, Lord, was done with prayer. Lord, as we look out on the world, Lord, the world that you created perfect, the world that we now see is less than perfect. We feel overwhelmed with all that we hear and all that we see. We're full of fear and worry for the future. For the future of those, Lord, that perhaps are just starting their lives. But Lord, help us to remember that you have everything in your hands and in your perfect timing. And that we can come to you and bring all our thoughts and our fears to you in prayer. Lord, as we read your word and share your word together, help us to remember it wasn't just something that happened all those thousands of years ago, but that we worship a living God who is alive, Lord, and filling your churches with your Holy Spirit. And so we pray, Lord, for more of that filling, that we would be the church that you would want us to be, not just here, Lord, but all over your world. So I pray for your blessing, Lord, upon us as we worship together again as a community. Lord, bless us in all that we will hear this morning, your holy word spoken through your Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. It's interesting when you spend time in silence thinking, I wonder what the disciples did for those 10 days. It says in the Bible in Acts chapter 1, they prayed. Can you imagine praying for 10 days? Some of us can't manage 10 minutes, can we? In fairness. But what a blessing. If we think about the book of Acts of the Apostles, we see it in a nutshell in Jesus' own words at the beginning of chapter 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And Jesus hasn't come back yet, so I assume that the message hasn't quite yet got to every corner of the earth. So we've still got work to do. Now, I don't know where you fancy being sent. I fancy somewhere a bit warm, not as warm as here. Dry heat's good for me. But in that upper room, as we were reading, as the disciples had heard that message, with one accord, they were devoting themselves to prayer. At Pentecost, the Christ followers received the Holy Spirit. And if we read through to chapter 7, the end of it describes the rapid growth of the church at that point in Jerusalem. Why did it grow so fast? And so we read this morning from Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47 on page 1094. 1094. Verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So we read about the fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Aren't they inspiring, encouraging words? Sorry, didn't quite hear you. Oh, you are still there. I'm back, by the way. I will ask questions. Are we not encouraged? Because as you heard those read to you, what did you think to yourselves? Well, we do that. Yeah. We fellowship together. We pray together. We break bread together. Do we have everything in common? But as we unpack those words, we realize what the characteristics of a church are. The disciples dedicate themselves, they're devoted to building a faith community. We see, based on the apostles' teaching, that's the teaching that Jesus himself would have given them, not just before his crucifixion, but those 40 days afterwards when he really went into teaching overload. to fellowship, to hospitality and prayer. As we've heard many times, a church is not a building, it's a community. They perform miracles and the people share their property and possessions. They meet in large groups at the temple, we do it at church, and in smaller house groups, sharing meals with great joy. They praise God, and people like them because of their generous and happy lifestyle. And every day, people are being saved. Isn't that our prayer and our wish for the community around us, for the people that we see daily? Whatever the church looks like today, it's still cool to have the same heart as the first church in Jerusalem. We can't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit, and so we will sing number 1183. I gave you a heart attack, didn't I? Holy Spirit, living breath of God. Let's pray. And Lord, we do pray, as we've just sung, that the love of Christ, that the unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would be clear for all to see. Father, we thank you for the teaching examples of your early inspired and miracle-working witnesses to Jesus. Holy Spirit, we know you are anointing from the Father to help us to know the truth about Jesus. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to make your presence and truth clear to us as we seek you in and through your word. Amen. Over these last weeks, I've had the blessing of being able to worship with other communities, and it's been amazing. Just thought I'd let you know that. Sorry if I'm boring you already. But it's interesting, isn't it, when you do go out of your own cozy little four walls and you go into worshiping in other communities, how different it can be. What you notice when you notice that you weren't welcomed and you sat in your chair all by yourself one morning. How's that fellowship? How's that community? When nobody asks you if you're okay. It's not fellowship, is it? It's not community. The blessing, though, of when people share their gifts and their giftings. One of the services I attended, actually, it's interesting. You think, how do you worship when you're being silent? You're allowed to sing. But one of the services was a Taizé service. I don't know if anyone's done Taizé service, but if they're done properly, they are absolutely amazing. And gifted musicians that led us through an hour of worship through music was one of the most memorable experiences that I've had. And I have done them when I was training for ministry. And I'll share more if you want to know later. But, you know, different services, different worship, the same as yourselves. Each Sunday, different kind of service, different kind of worship. But the same God. We come together to worship and to praise the same God. And how we express ourselves through our worship is part of our diversity, but also part of our unity. In our verses this morning, Luke offers, in a nutshell, a description of the newly formed congregation in its early days of forming patterns and practices for being a spirit-filled community. I wondered if Luke was to describe our fellowship of believers here, I wonder what he would write. I'll leave that thought hanging. But one of the things that always strikes me, and as I say, I love this passage, is the sense of joy. You know, as you read that passage, and I know sometimes it depends on how we read it, but as you read it, there's a real sense of joy, isn't there, that comes out of the way that the community were meeting together. The believers were full of excitement at being saved, and outsiders wanted to join in. Wow, that's amazing. They enjoyed favour of all the people, and people were being saved daily. People in their daily lives just overflowed with the love of God. And people could see the change in their lives. And that's why I included verse 41 in our reading, because we have to remember that in Acts chapter 2, we have a church of what I would say 3,000 newbies. Imagine if 3,000 newbies walked in here this morning. It'd be even more warm than it is now. Believers, though, with no idea how to be church in the way that Jesus expected, because they didn't have a constitution at that point written on how to be church. Many, we would remember, came from a Jewish legalistic upbringing. So they had the same struggles as people that perhaps in our own churches that have come from different traditions and understandings. The church was being led by 12 still quite experienced, immature believers. Has anyone been watching The Chosen series?
No.
It's very good if you want to watch it. Obviously, it expands things that perhaps are not in the Bible, because it puts lives on the disciples that we don't obviously read everything about. but it's really worth watching. It's free on Amazon Prime at the moment, all four series. But it shows how the disciples were chosen by Jesus, how they came together as a community, how they relied on the community to enhance the ministry. But we haven't got to the bit yet of Jesus' crucifixion. That's next series, series five. But he's on his way. But those disciples, you know, when we think about who they were, fishermen, tax collectors, zealots, people that you wouldn't think were naturally born to lead a church. They hadn't been to theological college. They hadn't got a degree in mission and ministry. But they led, as we read at the start of Acts, 120 people were the core of that early church. And so we do praise God for his Holy Spirit, because there's still work to be done. And the church and the mission began with those early believers. So although it looks like it was idyllic, there is so much to learn and can help us to learn about the early characteristics of the church, that they were devoted to being a healthy church. For anyone who listens to Lectio 365 like I do, you'll remember that the week after Pentecost this year, they spent the whole week reflecting on these verses as a spiritual blueprint of church and mission. And we read, don't we, in verse 41, that they welcome the message. If we read from the Message Bible, that day about 3,000 took him at his word, were baptized and were signed up. I love that, signed up to Jesus. The Greek word suggests that they showed approval, which leads to willing acceptance of God's words. We are to be people of the word, which is, as we read, living and active, always open to what God would say to us from it and to those who will teach and preach it to us. We read in verse 40 and 47 that people were being added constantly. Oh, what joy that is when people are added constantly to the church, to the fellowship. Because they are obedient and they have a passion to share the good news of Christ. It's the message, not the miracles, that is important. And our church still has a mission to evangelize and declare the faith, to declare the truth. The increase in numbers is affirmation of God's sovereignty in salvation. It's only he alone that can change people's hearts. God is doing the calling, the convicting and the adding. We read in Romans 10, that Paul writes, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? That's the crux, isn't it, of the world today. Can't take it for granted anymore that they learn it in school, because they don't. They learn everything at school, and they're expected to make a decision that will affect the whole of their lives. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. It's all right, somebody was looking at me from outside. They devoted themselves. Now, that is that they earnestly persisted and dedicated in their actions, which included Jesus' earthly teaching in those last 40 days. We need to get back to his teaching and knowing and relying on God's word for ourselves in our hearts, and to be people of the word, for a people who are searching for the truth, even though they probably don't even realize it. One of the blessings of the last 6 weeks has been the time to look back at my own spiritual journey and see how God's word has shaped my own life. As I've said many times, I was brought up from being a bump in my mummy's tummy to go to church. I don't know what it's like not to go to church, but our faith is our own individual thing. I can't do my parents' faith or anyone else's. But not to be content to stay in the past, but to look forward, to see sparks of new life, that I would grow deeper and be reshaped and re-inspired to walk to God's rhythm in my faith journey. And I do pray after the week that we've just seen in Parliament that God's church remains firm on the rock-solid foundation of God's word. They devote themselves to fellowship. Those new disciples are persistent, devoted to the new fellowship of believers in Jesus that thrived in Jerusalem. If you remember, a few years ago I preached on the koinonia, that beautiful Greek noun that comes from the root that means common, means participation and sharing, including everything that they had as part of the group. They share a common commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can unite our church today. We help build each other up in love. When we gather together, we use our gifts and learn from others who use theirs, which in turn equips us to walk with God in service for Him. It's what the last 6 weeks has been all about for yourselves as well. That's why I said you've had a sabbatical from me, because it's helped you to grow, hasn't it, in all that you can do and share in worship together. Denominations are useful and helpful. I've mixed with others from other persuasions. Oh, okay, don't worry, I'm back. But sometimes they can be a hindrance, can't they? Because, you know, if you do things in a certain way, it's very difficult to do them in another way. So it's really healthy actually to share in the way that other people do different things in church. But we pursue the common goal, as the disciple John writes. He says in his letter, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Our fellowship is centered on Jesus Christ himself as our Lord and as our congregation, Lord of our church. And we sincerely seek him to guide us. We love him and seek him, obey him and serve him. And we want to shine like him in our community, in deep love for one another, having all things in common. And we read that they devote themselves to the breaking of bread together. That also covers a larger fellowship meal. And like ourselves, they devoted themselves, as we call it, to the Lord's Supper, which began when Jesus broke the bread at the Passover meal. But also remember, as Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, appeared to the disciples on the Emmaus Road, it helped them as he broke the bread to recognize him as he broke the bread in the way that they would only have been familiar with. And we too will share around our Lord's table shortly. But what does it mean to devote ourselves to the breaking of the bread? I think it refers both to a respect for the value of the Lord's Supper and a desire, therefore, to partake of it as regularly as we can as a sign of our worship. Each denomination has their traditional frequencies, but our verse tells us to persist in, to devote ourselves to the Lord's Supper. Jesus' own words, as we can probably recite them, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And that's what Jesus commanded us to do. And they devote themselves to prayer. Now, I know you've spent a lot of time these last few weeks praying. You've had your prayer day? Yes? Yes. That's right, I'm just checking you're still there. And it's good, isn't it, to devote ourselves to prayer. But isn't it amazing what gets in the way? You know, it's okay saying, okay, we're going to have a prayer day. Or it's okay for me to say, okay, I'm going to go on a silent retreat and I'm going to pray. Even that is hard. But it's so awesome the way that God meets us in our prayer. I've loved over these last weeks that intentional rhythm I've been able to cultivate in being able to come into the Lord's presence in prayer. Finding a new love for prayer that I will admit had almost been extinguished by life. How devoted to daily prayer are we? Praise was a regular focus of their prayer life as they reached back to the Psalms for phrases and songs of praise. We often separate singing from other parts of the service, but singing songs of praise and thanksgiving is prayer. That's good, isn't it? It means we've already done a bit of praying this morning. Yay! But we need to become more intentional and committed to our weekly prayer meetings, to our daily meetings on our own as individuals with our Lord. We need to prayerfully examine our devotion and examine, perhaps as I've been able to do, our lack of prayer. I don't know about you, but being reminded of the early believers' devotion to prayer convicts me and stirs in me a deeper resolve to pray. How are we going to know what God's saying to us if we don't meet with him? It's like me coming up to you and saying, I'm not going to talk to you, but I want to guess how you are. Now, sometimes your faces will tell me how you are. But it's only as we chat together, isn't it, that I get to know you or you get to know me and that we get to understand how each other really are. So if we're not chatting to God in the same way, how are we going to know what his intentions are for us? So let's come together in prayer, in expectation of meeting with our God. The joy of knowing his presence in these last weeks has been a real blessing to me. And it says that they care for the needy in their midst. It wasn't just their money, it was their time. It was all of themselves. And it's so difficult today, isn't it, in this me-first community. Everything I get is for me, I want. And we look around, don't we, and we see so much need. In fact, it's overwhelming. Don't know about you, but as I see what's going on around the world and what's happening even in our own country, I just get really overwhelmed. What do I do first? You know, where do I send my money? Where do I spend my time? But we noticed that what they did do through prayer, asking God first, the people would see a difference, they could see a change, they wanted to be part of it. And because they were sincere in bringing the care for the poor and the broken without judgment, that's how we can be effective church for God. And their number grew daily. At this time, the church was growing rapidly. Part of this was enthusiastic telling of what Jesus was doing in their midst. Signs and wonders, healings, prophecy, tongues, many blessings. What an exciting time to be in church. Yeah, exactly. In our day, we should still expect growth where God has placed us. And we do again pray for God's guidance and seek his purpose for us here. I think one of the most exciting things I heard about while I was sharing with different colleagues as I've met different people over these weeks is the quiet revival. Has anyone heard about the quiet revival? Yeah. Our young people are seeking God in a way that is beyond anything that we could imagine and are certainly ready for. They found that the truth isn't in all the other things that the world tells them. And they're growing. They're meeting together. They are seeking God in huge numbers. Are we ready as a church to reach out to those young people? These verses give us a number of important characteristics of the early church. And so we should consider them, which are necessary for healthy congregations in our day. Which of the characteristics in our congregation are the most healthy? Which are the most unhealthy? They welcomed the message. Do we? They had constant growth. Have we? There was a devotion to being taught, commitment to fellowship, frequent celebrations of the Lord's Supper, much time in prayer, care for the needy. How did they keep all that up? I don't know about you, I'm just exhausted reading it. The Holy Spirit placed in them a love for Christian community as a high priority in their hearts. They saw no burden in enjoying fellowship together. May we invite the presence of God through his Holy Spirit to invade our lives as we surrender to his unstoppable ministry of reconciliation in us and through us. Amen. And so we pray. Lord, we thank you together for your blessed Holy Spirit who fills our lives and allows us to commune with you. I pray that you would push us to explore the heights and depths of your Spirit in our lives, rather than just be content with a surface appreciation. Lord, teach us to love all your people, to find strength in community and joy in fellowship. May we be the source of love, of fellowship, of prayer, of communion. Fill us with your Spirit and unite us in peace. And as the prayer in Lectio 365 says, Holy Spirit, reshape the pattern of our lives. We offer you our stories again today. All that is old, all that is new, all that is broken, all that is whole. Give us a glad and generous heart to receive your word. In Jesus' name, who is the living word, we pray. Amen. And so as we devote ourselves to the breaking in bread of bread, let's sing together number 181, God forgave my sin, in Jesus' name. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayers. Let us too be devoted to being a healthy church. Jesus invites us to feast at his table, just like those first disciples, just like those new believers, just like the billions of witnesses that have followed. In unity as God's church, his people, all together joined by the Holy Spirit. I pray that Jesus would be known to us in the breaking of bread and the sharing of the cup. Let's pray. Almighty Lord, who is our shepherd, who leads us in ways everlasting, you have taught us that the journey is just as important as the destination. We give thanks that you have chosen us and called us your people. Jesus, our good shepherd, may we recognize your voice alone above all those who clamor for our attention. You came to seek and to save the lost. We have come because you first came to us. One of the prayers in Lectio says, Father, thank you for including us in your global family and for the local community that you have planted us in. We surrender our desires to be entertained in a Sunday service, and instead that we ask you to help us to love the family we worship with, praying for and serving them in our shared journey to wholeness. Reveal yourself to us in the unknown, in the uncertain, in the unfinished edges of our story. Reveal yourself in the blessing, in the breaking, in the everyday, ordinary, causing our hearts to burn at your presence. We are reminded of the beautiful, holy reality of the intrinsic sacrificial love at the heart of our faith, that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us on the road to his glory. May Father, Son, and Holy Spirit abide with us as we share together. May this bind us to you and to one another in unity. Amen. And Paul writes to those early disciples, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and he gave thanks to God for it, and then he broke it, and he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine, and he said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. Yesterday, when I was on my Forge course that I have been on over these last months, we had a session on the importance of the blood of Jesus and how believers can apply it to their daily lives. We shared a proclamation by Derek Prince. Some of you would have heard of him. It hasn't got a copyright, so I want us just to quieten ourselves, close your eyes if it's easier, to listen and to reflect on the words. Through the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins are forgiven. Through the blood of Jesus, I am continually being cleansed from all sin. Through the blood of Jesus, I am justified, made righteous, just as if I'd never sinned. Through the blood of Jesus, I am sanctified, made holy, set apart to God. Through the blood of Jesus, I have boldness to enter into the presence of God. The blood of Jesus cries out continually to God in heaven on my behalf, on our behalves. May we never lose the magnitude of what Jesus did for us, or the enormity of his love for us. I pray that Jesus would be known to each one of us in the breaking of bread and the sharing of the cup that brings communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So as you receive the bread, please take and eat as a sign of your own individual response. The body of Christ given for you. As you receive the cup, please retain it, and we'll drink together as a sign of our unity in God's family. the blood of Christ given for you. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you for your body broken. Thank you for your life revealed. Thank you for your blood poured out. Thank you for revealing your love through sacrifice. May we remember what you have done for each one of us, and may our response be to go in obedience to share the good news with the restored passion of a saved people. With your breath in us, you have prepared us, this fellowship of believers, here and now, to be your witnesses in this world. To you be all honour and glory. Amen. So we will join together in hospitality over a meal. But after that, the command is to go forth and tell. Number 178, let's sing together. Let's pray. It is a most wonderful thing when members of the family live together in love and peace. They shall be like trees planted beside flowing rivers. May the church be one, just as Christ and God are one, that Christ may be glorified in us, that we would yield good fruit in its season, and that their leaf should never wither. The grace, mercy, and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.